Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes at any point this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 if you'd like to talk to Senator Hughes. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Hugh, and thanks to everybody for participating, all my constituents and everyone else who's listening for being a part of this call. You know, some of our best feedback, Hugh, and some of our best ideas come directly from our constituents. I'm Senator Vincent Hughes, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing education, jobs, and criminal justice issues or any other issue you'd like to discuss and to answer any questions that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in, offer your opinion, and ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Remember, if you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone.
Senator, thank you, and we're going to have a live poll question. We'll be able to participate. In fact, we're going to have two of them this evening, so we'll get started with the first one in a minute or so. But, Senator, you know, it's
the first call is the fun call.
First question is the fun question.
Okay, all right.
And it's a very good question. It's timely.
Very timely.
It's something where I think a lot of folks will engage. But, Senator, it's June. There's a lot of things happening relative to the budget. Can you provide an update of what's going on and what do you foresee in the near future?
Well, where we're at right now, Q, is it's kind of simple. We're trying to really be adult about everything and have conversations around the budget. We're trying to, given what happened last year, which actually drained into this year, as you know, have a level of dialogue where we tone down the rhetoric a little bit and try to deal only with substantive information and substantive problems and, of course, substantive solutions. There's been, as late as today, senior-level meetings with the Senate Republican leadership. The governor's been meeting with folks, and, you know, we've got a lot of the data, a lot of the information already in front of us. We're waiting for some important issues to be kind of set to establish a framework, and then I think we can march home and get this done. And we've heard from lots of folks, Hugh, that we've got that everyone doesn't want to go through what went on last year. We've heard from lots of folks about making sure that we have a timely budget, one that's done on time. But we've also heard from lots of folks, quite frankly, Hugh, who have said, you know, do the right thing, get something good done for the people in Pennsylvania, something that responds to their needs, something that funds education appropriately, something that invests in job creation initiatives so we can put people back to work, something that really makes sense for the people in Pennsylvania. So we're trying to be mindful of that. As much as we want to do a budget that is timely and on time, which everyone knows was supposed to be done by June 30th, we also must make sure that it's good public policy and, in fact, the right thing to do. So that's the latest. And we'll keep folks appraised and updated on everything. People should want to, Hugh and everyone listening, should want to get to my website, senatorhughes.com, and register at the link there your email address. Because we'll be doing lots of email blasts over the next 3 weeks to keep everybody updated. So just go to my website, senatorhughes.com. Go to the link for your email address where you can put your email address in, and then we can make sure that you're getting direct links and direct updates on various things that we're working on.
And just as a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or would like to speak with him this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're having some folks get into the queue. We're going to be bringing them on live very shortly. Again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes, press star 3. Senator, what are some of the, just briefly before we get to the callers, what are some of the obstacles do you see as a part of coming together on a budget?
Well, government is changed and the the both sides in representative government have really changed a lot in the last few years, Hugh. We're dealing a lot now with, and I think folks see this nationally, we're dealing a lot with folks who don't really believe in government, don't really believe that government has a role or has a place or has any level of responsibility with respect to governing and handling people's lives, issues, and circumstances. And so one of the pushbacks that we're having is from a growing group of legislators and senators who just don't believe that there's a meaning or role in government in our lives. And I think we all know that we're best when we have smart government working for us, government that's focused on making sure that the playing field is equal, and that everybody, no matter what their circumstance, has a chance to realize their dreams and make significant contributions. But we're dealing with some folks who have come to the legislature basically to destroy it and to destroy government and to really minimize the amount of role and responsibility that government has. And that is unfortunate. In the time that I've been here in Harrisburg, it's one of the worst environments that we've seen for many, many years. And, of course, we're seeing that play itself out at the federal level also. Folks at the federal level just don't want to do the responsible or right thing, and they make it extremely hard for people to come together and to compromise on issues that really, really make a difference. So that's the most difficult thing we're dealing with right now, Hugh.
Thank you, Senator. And we're going to go to the callers. But before we do, for those that have joined us, again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to introduce our polling question.
This is a fun polling question.
The one that everybody can participate in. And the question is, in the NBA Finals, who are you rooting for, the Cavs or the Warriors?
Are you a LeBron guy or a Steph Curry?
That's right.
All right.
If you're with LeBron and the Cavs, you can press *1 on your phone's keypad. If you're with Steph Curry and the Warriors, you can press *2. You can vote whenever you want.
You can't vote early and often, though.
No.
Okay.
It's an important question. It's good information. I think we can use somehow.
We're trying to have some fun with these calls. We spend a lot of time dealing with a lot of work, and we want to make sure that every once in a while we inject a bit of humor into the conversation. Why don't we start taking some calls?
We're going to go to the calls. Our first call is going to go to Marion. Marion, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes. Marion,
are
you there?
Hey, yes, Marianne. I am. Well, I'd like to know why so many children are—they're going to school, but they're going to school. Some weeks it don't go a week. You know, y'all have some kind of school, but it's not enough.
All right. Well, Marion, that is the issue that we've been fighting for. Now it's almost up to 5 years, almost 6 years, which is the appropriate funding for our schools. As you know, we have 4 years of Tom Corbett, and he really didn't want to fund public education, and we suffered probably about a $1 billion cut. And the Republicans, when Tom Wolf got elected, have fought hard against Governor Wolf in terms of trying to increase the amount of funding for public education. We need the funds. We need to have the funds to educate our children. You cannot educate children appropriately when you have 50 kids in a classroom, when you don't have the resources, when you don't have all the appropriate programs that children need. You know, each child learns differently. I learn differently from my sister. My children learn differently from each one from another. Each thing pushes a child differently, and you have to create an education environment that allows for that. But it's extremely important not to give up the pressure on the need to fund our education system appropriately. And we need voices like yourself and all the others who are on the call to express that viewpoint. So thank you for leading us off in that conversation.
Marion, thank you very much. Again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Burl and Overbrook. Burl, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Senator Hughes.
Hey, bro, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, my question sort of follows up on the question about education. I wanted to hear of some concrete plans as far as properly funding education, and not just for the next fiscal quarter or for the next 2 years, but something long-term like they have in the Canadian system and some of the other West countries in the West, where there's, you know, a substantial amount of funds strictly dedicated towards education and benchmarking, so that we're building towards something instead of just trying to, you know, cover all the bases and meet the needs of the growing needs of the country.
That's a good question, and I appreciate that. Look, we've looked at a couple of different options. One that's been around for probably about 2 years now, maybe three, is an appropriate tax on Marcellus Shale and the Marcellus Shale drilling, and to dedicate the proceeds from that drilling directly to our education system, advantaging those school districts like Philadelphia, like Chester, like Reading, like Erie, like Harrisburg, like so many in Pennsylvania, that are low-income school districts that have been funded, that have not been funded appropriately. So there's Marcellus Shale funding. Senator Art Haywood and I have introduced a measure that's about a month ago that talks about a high profit, a tax on really high profits. So some will call it capital gains. I will call it just high profit tax. In other words, if you're in that 1% or that 2% category, and you're making lots of money off of your investments, we don't have a problem with you making those dollars off of those investments. But we think that you need to assist and balance out the equation and provide money towards. In this case, I think it should be directed towards our schools. That is that we are allowed, we did the research, and it appears that legally we are on solid ground, but would really go at those high net profits that folks have received off of really huge investments and profits off of investments. We believe that could secure probably annually around $700 million, and that it would be a huge infusion of dollars into our education system. I think you'll see more of a rolling out of that concept, which was introduced about a month ago. I think you'll see more rolling out of more public conversation of that concept over the next couple of weeks. But those are specific initiatives. Right now, as we know in Pennsylvania, we don't have a graduated income tax. Everybody pays basically the same rate. So if you're a millionaire or you're making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, you and your secretary are paying at the same income tax level. We think there's a level of unfairness. We're one of the few states in the nation that don't have a graduated income tax, and we think we need to figure out. We know we need to figure out a way to kind of even out the playing field. You know, we're in a nation where we're supposed to look out for one another, and those who have, you know, one of the responsibilities for getting more is to give more. It's work when we do that, and we do that appropriately, it works well for everybody. So that's one of the ideas. But I really appreciate the call, bro. I really do appreciate that call. And as I know you would imagine, you know, if we have measures like that, we can start locking that in for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, to get a nice plan, a nice program in place, so that our schools can start to begin to refunding our schools, and so that our teachers have something that they know that they can count on year after year, so they can appropriately plan out their classroom activity.
Senator, just to follow up on Burl's question, I know you are heavily engaged in an examination of public school buildings, and
yes.
You are
yes.
going around the state, you're gathering information, what is your plan relative to that? What are you going to do with the information you gather? I know you've been to different places. You held events down in the Philadelphia in your district, and you've gone statewide with that.
What we've been doing, Hugh, is the physical condition of our schools, far too many of our schools, they're really crumbling. I've been to, obviously, in Philadelphia, we live in the tail of two school districts in my senatorial district. I have actually three. Of course, the Philadelphia school district, but then I represented a portion of the suburbs, and I have the Colonial School District in Whitemarsh Township, and Conshohocken, And I have the Upper Dublin School District, of course, which represents Upper Dublin Township. And the huge differences in terms of the quality of the buildings that our children are learning in really represents this unbalanced and unfair way in terms of how we fund education. So what we've been doing is traveling around the state. I was in McKeesport, which is right outside of Pittsburgh, 2 weeks ago. I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania, about a week and a half ago. We'll be visiting schools actually tomorrow morning here in Harrisburg. And the kind of conditions that exist in some of these schools is really does not represent what's best, what we should be all about. The average public school building in Philadelphia is 69 and a half years old. The average public school building in Pittsburgh is 90 years old. All right? That's the average. The average, okay? So that means if the average is 90, you have a handful of new buildings, but you have some buildings that are well over 100 years old, all right? We've got backup generators. We saw this in McKeesport that are basically car motors, okay? So if the generator goes down in the school, the backup generator is essentially a car motor with a battery and everything attached to that. We've got some heating systems or energy systems in schools are operating off of Windows 98 platforms, okay? And, of course, the tragic issue that occurred in Philadelphia from the worker who was caught in an explosion at the Edmonds School. And just as an update for folks, that worker died about 2 weeks ago. Very tragic, but very brave because the fire was put out. He lost his life. The fire was put out. It was a school day and probably saved the lives of about 500 school kids and the teachers and administrators and support staff at the Edmonds School up in Mount Airy. So we're looking at this. We're looking at this hard. We think it needs to be added to the equation. We think it represents the dichotomy that exists in terms of how we fund education. And we'll be very public about some of the photographs that we've taken, some of the conversations we've had with some of the workers at these schools. And it really, you know, what I can say this, and I'll close out on this particular point, on this issue. A society is judged in many respects on how it treats its children. If we can pay for and provide for state-of-the-art facilities for our athletes to do their thing, to play football or basketball or baseball or whatever, we should be able to provide for 21st century schools for our children to get, in fact, a 21st century education. So thanks for asking me that question, Hugh.
Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Rena in West Philly. Rena, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
This is Rena. I just spoke to you about the guns.
Hey, Rena, Senator Hughes here. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. We have, as you know, Pennsylvania is a serious problem with respect to trying to control guns in Pennsylvania. The National Rifle Association has a stranglehold on the ability to move any kind of legislation out of the House or out of the Senate or even out of a committee. We're looking at legislation, obviously, to ban assault weapons. There is no reason, okay, that any person should have the ability to purchase unfettered to have an assault weapon in their possession. There's absolutely no reason. There was an interview with the person who designed the AR-15,
yeah,
all right, which I think was the weapon that was used in the tragic situation in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And he said this weapon was never meant for public use, for public consumption. It was always meant for military purposes and for the Army and everyone else in the military. And so we're trying to curtail assault weapons. Background checks. Background checks are supported by 90% of the general public. My legislation, Senate Bill 1049, calls for background checks at any point of purchase. Issues of limiting ammunition, really going at hard at any kind of ability to control access to a gun. you know, mental health checks, all that kind of stuff. So we're looking at all those kinds of things, but we really need the voice, the voices of the public to really help and encourage and support good-minded and good-thinking legislators to say this is the right way to go, that we need to continue down a path for common sense gun legislation. Not stopping anybody and everybody, but common sense. If you are on a no-fly list, on an FBI or a TSA no-fly list because there's questions about your background, if you're on a no-fly list, then you should be on a no-purchase gun list. Okay? You can't be. If they say they don't trust you to get on an airplane, how can they trust you to get a gun? So those are some of the things that we're looking at, Rena. Thank you for asking that question.
And Senator, we're going to follow up that question with a question from Angela in West Philly. Angela, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes. Angela, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Angela.
No. My name is Milton.
Hey, Milton.
Oh, Milton. All
right,
how you doing?
Okay. The last caller pretty much you covered my point already. But
okay.
I was going to ask, could you introduce a bill to do background checks and to limit these automatic weapons? But you had already answered that. But what I'd like to do is switch the question is, given what happened in Ferguson and other cases, have you considered introducing a bill in Harrisburg where the state would pay for that all cops have body cameras so we could see what they're doing so we wouldn't have incidences like Ferguson and other places?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
You asked me, can we introduce legislation, and will we introduce legislation? It is a budget issue. And
yeah, find funding for it. That every single cop across the Commonwealth should have a body camera on them.
I have no problem with body cameras. No problem at all. And we will look at, there's different types of body cameras. There's different technologies. There's some relatively minor issues that we have to do in terms of personal information and you know, civil liberty stuff and that kind of stuff. But we need to use body cameras. I think they can be effective. I think they're on trial in Philadelphia. I think a limited number of Philadelphia police officers are utilizing body cameras. But we have no problem going down that path, finding the legislation. We just got to find the money to pay for it and everything that goes along with it. But thank you for that question. That's a very good one.
Milton, thank you very much. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Rosalie. Rosalie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello, Senator Hughes. I'm Rose Cooper.
Hey, Rose Cooper. What's going on?
And not much. How you been?
Look, I'm just trying to keep it moving forward. That's all.
Okay. I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask about the guys that's getting out of jail. They're hard finding a job, and we need to try to help them. Get a job because they're standing back on the corner and a lot of them are coming to me asking me to help them get a job.
Mm-hmm. Look, here's where I'm at on that. First of all, we gotta create some jobs so that folks can get a job. All right, that's one of the difficult things that we gotta deal with. Unfortunately, we're not creating enough jobs all across every sector of the economy for folks to find jobs. But so that's like a broader economic issue, all right? Secondly, we got to make it easier when someone comes out of prison for them to make the transition to work. We got to really do a better job, and we're working with the corrections secretary, John Wetzel, here in Pennsylvania, who's a very, very good guy. To make it, to provide more training for folks who are on their way out, so to get their literacy skills up and their job training skills up and that kind of stuff, but also some of the basic stuff, like, get ready for your driver's license, get ready to have all your identification in place, do you have a clean set of clothes to wear when you get out, some very basic things that are smart that make it easy. Sometimes we make it very hard for people who are coming out to make that transition, and next thing you know, they wind up right back in. We're trying to deal with issues around, ban the box. And it's another bill that I've introduced, and I think it's been successfully put in place in the city of Philadelphia, where they asked that question about, you know, have you been incarcerated before? You know, we're trying to limit that question on job applications. But we really got to do a better job of creating jobs all across the city, all across the state, all across the nation. And quite frankly, Rose, I think, I am a Democrat, and I clearly know that I have no intention of getting Trump in this election, okay, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Okay, I can't get it, on this call, I can't get too political about it. But okay. we all need to raise the question to whoever we're talking to about going to be the next president of the United States of America, what are they going to do about creating jobs and rebuilding and revitalizing our neighborhoods? Our neighborhoods
right.
are crumbling. They're falling apart.
We Who need are you to put, telling?
I know, all right? But we need to take this at every level. The same
yes.
way you
Did
hear
that?
Me, the governor Did needs that? To hear it, the mayor
yeah.
needs to hear it, and then whoever's going to be the next president, she needs to hear it too. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it like that. All right, Rose?
Next question I have to ask you, and it's a short one. We got kids cannot find a summer job. They get in trouble. I'm trying to create a little job for the kids if it ain't nothing but picking up trash and trying to give them a stipend for right now because they're hard. It's hard getting a job. I had 10 kids last year, couldn't get a job. So I'm trying to do something this year of helping them. They don't do nothing but pick up trash in the neighborhood to get them a little stipend. I can't see these kids on the corner doing nothing and standing out here and don't have no money in their pocket. So I am trying. I done put in applications all over, grants all over, and I have at least 3 people have answered my grant, trying to help the kids for the summer. What is y'all going to do about that?
Well, we've introduced legislation and we've introduced an appropriation to increase the level of funding for summer jobs to try to create more slots for young people. And in fact, I went down to the Philadelphia Youth Network, which everybody needs to get connected with, Philadelphia Youth Network, and make phone calls as they raise money from their corporations, so that they can create more summer slots for our young people. Every year for summer jobs, there's probably about 12 to 15,000 kids who are waiting, who are on the waiting list. There's no summer job for them. And I want to wipe that out, and I want to wipe that out immediately. Even though we may employ about 8,000 to 10,000, there's still another 12,000 to 15,000 who are still waiting. What I would suggest is this. Call my district office. Ask to speak to Tiffany Wilson. Her number is 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. And if you've got some young people who you're trying to provide help for, she might be able to help navigate towards either the Philadelphia Youth Network or some other kind of assistance, okay? Tiffany Wilson, 215-879-7777.
Rose, thank you very much for your call. We'll give folks another opportunity to respond to our live poll question. The question is, in the NBA Finals, who are you rooting for, the Cavs or the Warriors? If you're rooting for the Cavs, you can press 1.
Can I press 1?
You can.
Yeah.
You can press 1.
I can't.
Or you can press 2
okay.
to vote for the Warriors. Again, right. If you're interested, if you think the Cavs, if that's who you're rooting for, press 1 on your phone keypad. Press 2 if you're supporting the Warriors. If you have a question for Senator Hughes, you can press 3. He's not playing in that game, but he's here this evening. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Juwanda. Juwanda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Juwanda. How are you?
Fine. I have a question piggybacking on the lady about the kids not working, but the younger ones that aren't working. How about a rec center for them in Winfield? Where is it? And if it isn't one, can we get one for them?
There are a couple rec centers in Winfield and West Philly, Overbrook, 54th and Parkside. The rec center over there, of course, Haddington at 57th and Haverford.
Now, are they free?
Yeah, they're free. Absolutely.
They're free. They can go there and, okay.
Absolutely. Completely free and staffed. okay? I'm working very close with Councilman Curtis Jones Jr., who was doing a really great job of doing site improvements at the rec centers. Papa Playground up on 67th, 68th, off of Haverford, up in that neighborhood. There's a lot of activity going on over there. So, you know, we need more rec. Of course, you can always go to John Anderson Cultural Center. Go to your libraries. The libraries, the Philadelphia libraries, are an amazing resource for our young people. First of all, you got all that knowledge, all that education, all that training going on in the libraries with the books. The library.
Right now, I'm sorry. About that library, can we extend the hours on that library up there on Anderson, John Anderson, near the 54th Street? Because
yeah,
it's closed, and they close early. But the summertime, can they extend the hours?
I, not knowing the summer schedule off the top of my brain, one of the things that the city is trying to invest in is in our libraries and recreation centers, which is why you had a soda drink tax going on. So, and that's to add more hours, more time for the libraries to stay open. The libraries just about every one of them is air conditioned. They got staff there that are really amazing and do a lot of interactive activities with young people in an organized fashion. So I would really encourage folks to utilize our libraries as an important resource. All right?
Okay.
Juwanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Juwanda.
Thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Patricia. Patricia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello.
Hey.
Senator Hughes.
How you doing?
I'm
doing good.
That's good. I'm calling them. The last time I spoke to you, I was talking to you about the stop and go down the street from me that was selling liquor. And you said you was going to look into it.
Yep.
Well, now they out of business. They not down there no more. I wanted to call and tell you.
We got a win?
Yes.
Very good. That's good news, Patricia.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Don't go nowhere, Patricia. Just everybody knows we're working on this stop and go problem. It's selling all this alcohol out of these stop and goes. It really isn't inappropriate. You know, we stepped to one of these, took pictures, notified the Liquor Control Board, all of those folks, and Patricia's telling us that we got to win. We shut one down.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, indeed.
An organized community.
I was so glad.
An organized community can do a lot of stuff if we stay organized and stay on the case. Patricia, thank you so very much. That's good news.
Thank you.
You like that, Hugh?
That's excellent.
That's
news.
Good news, man.
Excellent news. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Ricky in West Philly. And Ricky, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Senator Hughes, I got two questions for you. I'm
Lil
Horse. Why are we not taxing these colleges that's cutting up neighborhoods and buying them? That money should go back to schools.
The colleges
by North Philly. King and Drexel's by West Philly.
And St. Joe's
buying a part of Winfield.
The colleges and universities are clearly a great addition to our community. We need them. We need their help. We need them educating folks. That's what we'd like to have happen. What we've got to be concerned about is how they can contribute to the gentrification that goes on in our community. Now, a lot of the colleges and universities pay something called a pilot, which is a payment in lieu of taxes. And every year the city reviews that to determine the exact amount of what that figure should be. So they'll make several million dollar payment, and each one is doing some contribution differently. I'm not sure that we should be making them like for-profit institutions, but I think it is appropriate to have conversations with them to figure out how they can do more to give back to the communities that they're located in. Maybe it's more in terms of scholarships for kids who attend those colleges. Maybe it's a higher payment in lieu of taxes. You know, maybe it's something along that line. But we want them to be partners and work in that community. We want St. Joe's and Drexel and Penn and Temple and all and community college, all the rest of them to be partners to work with us and not to work against us. But I think that's a good question that you raised. And it really requires the state and the city to work closer together to try to get the right balance. So thank you, man.
Ricky, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Mr. Nelson in East Falls. Mr. Nelson, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hello?
Mr. Nelson.
Ms. Nelson.
Ms. Nelson.
Hello, Ms. Nelson. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I have a couple. I have a question, a statement. And I'll even like to make a comment on the fellow who just talked about Temple University. Temple University was in a lawsuit about 25 years ago with the Muslim group, and I think it was a church. Temple University itself, I think they cannot cross 15th Street. What's going on with that is parents are buying houses west of 15th Street, and investors are buying those places. That's why those Temple students are able to move. Temple itself is not physically going across 15th Street, if I remember correctly. And you can check on that to see about that lawsuit also.
I'll check on that.
Right. But what I really called about, I had one statement and a question. First place, I think where education is concerned, they need to do away with charter schools until the ninth grade. Because I think children from preschool to eighth grade should have a total structured education where they have a teacher and assistant in the room. If this is done, by the time a young person finishes the eighth grade, they got something to build on. And then they can go into charter schools if they have them. That's my opinion. I think that's the only way we're going to get education in the city of Philadelphia back where it should be. Okay, my question is this. Why are companies allowed to get tax breaks in our city, and the agreement, part of the agreement is they are to hire people in the neighborhood, especially some of them are hiring people who have records. How can you get a tax credit yet you pay the people who work for you minimum wage? How do you ever expect them to buy a house if you're getting your tax break and you're paying people minimum wage? Does that make sense?
Well, what we're trying to do is Ms. Nelson, and thank you for the call. What we're trying to do is to raise the minimum wage in Pennsylvania, like we did 10 years ago in 2006. We raised the minimum wage back then. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania's minimum wage hasn't increased since then. So we're trying to raise the minimum wage so that when we do these investments and provide these tax breaks for these businesses, that these businesses are then paying at a higher minimum wage. I don't have any problem looking at the issue of providing, when you provide tax breaks or government-related tax breaks, that you make sure that you incentivize them not just only to provide jobs for folks, but at the same time provide pay a livable wage, so that if you're getting a tax break, that you get a wage that has the capacity to feed yourself and your family and house yourself and your family. I'm a big supporter of moving towards $15 an hour on the minimum wage. I think that's appropriate. You're in a better position to be able to sustain your family. But again, I will have my folks take a hard look at this issue about the requirements for when a business gets a government-provided tax break, what the incentives are to make sure that you're not only just creating jobs, but you're paying folks at a family-sustaining wage? I think that's a good question, Ms. Nelson. Thank you very much.
Ms. Nelson, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Doris in Roxborough. Doris, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey, Doris. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you. I am so glad I have a chance to voice my opinion here. Marcella Shale shouldn't be drilling. There's reports of it making people sick, and they intend to try to get them to pay for schools, you know, like the taxes. They shouldn't even exist. I don't think it's good for the environment, actually. Solar power is much, much better.
I'm a big supporter of that. I know that. That's for sure.
Yes. I would like to see Marcella Shale abolished.
Okay. And Doris, you had a follow-up question as well about a sexual assault bill?
Okay. First of all, another one. Assault weapons should be banished. That's the one thing I didn't mention.
Okay.
The bill 1947 is approaching the House. It was approved in one, I'm not real good with politics, it was approved in one venue, but the Catholic Church is fighting it like the Dickens.
Yeah.
And I think that is horrible. We need an extended, statute of limitations, or they should be abolished altogether. I don't think 50 is old enough to be able to sue. I think you should be able to sue whenever, however old you are, because I am tempted to sue now after hearing all this garbage that the church is doing. And it's not just the church that will be responsible, it's public institutions also. Please pass 1947 in the House.
Doris, thank you very much.
Thank you for that information, Doris. That's a very important point. That bill is circulating around the House and the Senate right now as we speak. I'm a strong supporter of that measure and making sure that folks who are it's heartbreaking, but folks who are abused are not limited in their ability to pursue some level of justice. The relationship between a religious leader and a child or a person is a very sacrosanct kind of relationship. It's a very it's a special relationship. It's a protected relationship. When that relationship is abused, it is beyond the pale. The person who abuses that relationship is clearly beyond the pale. They're abusing a special relationship that they have, and a person should have the opportunity to seek whatever justice that they can as a result of being of suffering in an abusive situation like that. So thank you for raising the issue. Thank you for being an important voice on that. We'll keep pursuing that, and we'll make sure everybody know what's going on as the legislation moves through the system.
Doris, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Rockwa in West Philly.
Yes.
Rockwa, are you there? Hello?
Rakia?
Hello?
Rakia Henderson?
Oh, this is Shari.
Shari?
Where are you saying from? Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
They didn't type your name right in the screen, Shari.
Oh, I don't know how you got that. That's my daughter's name in the screen. I don't know how you got that.
I don't know. Somebody else is handling that. I might have to talk to them about it, you know?
My question for you is, I heard you say that the NRA sort of has things monopolized in both the Senate and the House.
Yeah.
And what can we do as citizens, taxpayers, to help push legislation that would put certain restrictions and ban assault rifles?
I am, Sheree, I'm just as frustrated as the president is. All right, I mean, yesterday what occurred in Orlando, over 100 people.
Yes.
All right, 49 killed. All right, potential more loss of life. A number of folks happen to be from the Philadelphia area, a number of folks from West Philadelphia. I don't know what it's going to take for common sense, simple legislation to move in the House and the Senate, except for outrage by folks like yourself. You know, too many of our communities, I know you know what I'm talking about, Sheree, too many communities are suffering daily, hourly, by this violence and these guns that are just as easy to get as anything that you might think of. And we need some help. We need some relief. All I can think of is people got to raise you know what and not stop raising you know what. We can win on this stuff sometimes. A caller a few minutes ago, Ms. Pat, talked about how we're able to get one of these stop-and-goes shut down in her neighborhood, and when folks didn't think we could make that happen, but we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, the folks were railing against President Obama with the Affordable Care Act, and you're not going to get it, you're not going to get it, you're not going to get it. But you know what? He got it done.
Got it.
We're going to have to keep up that same level of pressure. But in honor of those 100 people who were shot in Orlando, in honor of those kids who were annihilated in the schools and the college campuses, in honor of the folks who every day are killed by a gun or a weapon, in honor of them, we need to do something to get something done for them, because they're innocent in so many cases. So many cases, it's the wrong place at the wrong time. The child that was, you know, killed in the home when the father pulled out the weapon in the house, not to use it, but just to had it in their hand.
Right.
And the little baby was shot. In honor of them, we need to get something done for them. We need to stand for them, all right? And we can't retreat. We got to keep pushing forward.
I think that's where we have a problem. Sometimes we have this outrage and we stand up, and then after a while it dies down and you don't hear about it anymore. So this is something that we have to be really proactive. We have to be determined I can't fight the NRA. I know that. But as a group, I just feel as though if we stand up and we protest like we did in the 60s, maybe we made some changes then, didn't we?
Yes, we sure did. We got some victories.
Right.
90% of the people believe that you should have a background check before you can buy a weapon. 90%, Democrats, Republicans, urban communities, in the rural areas, even in what they call NRA backyards. 90% of the people say that we should have background checks. And we should have a background check. If you're on a no-fly list, if the FBI said you can't get on an airplane, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. And that's all I got to say about that. Now I'm getting outraged. Now I'm getting hot.
Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Virginia. Virginia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi, my name is Virginia Carrington.
Hey, Virginia, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm calling about these abandoned houses. What can we do about these abandoned houses? I live between two abandoned houses that is actually tearing my house apart.
What I need you to do, Virginia, this is what I need you to do. Call tomorrow.
Call
in my office. 215-879. I'll make it real easy for you. 215-879-7777. You can't forget that number.
Okay.
Give her the addresses of your property and the properties on each side of you, and we'll jump on that right away and see if we can get you some help, all right?
Yes, thank you very much.
We need as a broad, again, it's presidential election time, and I'm not trying to, I'm serious. I'm not trying to get, you know, political because I can't talk who to vote for on this call, all right? But I'm telling you that we need to tell these folks who want to be president of the United States, we need a new deal. We need a new deal for a new Philadelphia. We need a new deal for a new Pennsylvania. We need a new deal. We need investment in our communities, investment in our neighborhoods, all right? And we need to tell them that, all right? There are people around the country, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, New York, Los Angeles, they're all feeling the same pain. We need to tell, we need to let these folks who want to be the number one spot, to be the president, that we're all feeling the same pain, and they need to make a major investment in these cities to rebuild these neighborhoods, rebuild these communities, put people back to work. That's when everything's going to work out right. If we keep on going down this path we've been on, where only a handful of people get the dough and get the money, and our communities rot like it was happening in our neighborhoods, then it's just, that's unacceptable. So that's what I'm saying. Now you got me hot again. So there you go.
Oh, goodness, sorry.
No problem. You call Tiffany, 215-879-7777, all right?
Her name, Tiffany?
Tiffany Wilson, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, dear. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Then we're going to go to the callers. We're going to go to Gloria. Gloria, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi, Senator Hughes. How are you today?
Hey, Gloria. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I have two concerns. I want to know, where are the truancy officers for these kids going to school? I mean, I see kids go by my house in the morning between 8:15, 8:30, and 8:45 going to school. What time are kids supposed to be in school?
School's supposed to be open around 7:30, 7:45, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time since I've been to school, Gloria. But
I know that. But I know that's right.
I mean, here's the thing that I want you to think about, all right? School's getting ready to shut down.
Right.
And in a week or two, and in fact, it's already started to happen, schools are closing down. What are we putting together for our children during the summertime?
That's what I want to know, because the kids in my block, they don't have nowhere to go to play the little basketball, the little football. They have to play in the street, and the cars are coming around the corner. They're zooming down the street. Now they're on I-95, and they need to have somewhere to go to analyze their time during the day. And someone to
Let's get them in the library. I'm telling you,
these kids aren't going to the library.
There's stuff going on into the library. They won't go to the library if we don't take them there.
Yeah, true.
We gotta get them over there. Get them to the library. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of. First of all, it's summertime. Library got the air conditioning going on. Okay, they got the air conditioner, all right? Secondly, they got staff there. They got people there, all right, who are prepared to help the children with their reading. With the young ones, they'll read stories to them. They'll put programs together for them. Get them in the library. Get them in the recreation centers. I know we need more activities going on, but that's at least the foundation that we can operate off of, all right? I've got a summer reading program called Read to Succeed. Okay, if you got young people from first to fourth grade, only first to fourth grade, if you want them to participate in my Read to Succeed program, just call my office. Again, call Tiffany, 215-879-7777, all right? But that's what we got to do. It's about the community stepping up and carrying the burden until we force these other levels of government to do what they're supposed to do. I know that it's about the community stepping up right now.
Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here, and I know you have some concluding comments for those that have just joined us. Maybe share with us.
Absolutely. What we need folks to do is just, first of all, if as we start to conclude the call, our fun question for the night, are you rooting for the Cavaliers or the Warriors? Are you rooting for LeBron James or Steph Curry? Press number one if you're a Cavs fan. Press number one if you're a Warriors fan. I know, number two. I'm trying to, as you can tell, that's what I'm rooting for, all right? But more importantly, and that's our fun question for tonight, but more importantly, please stay in touch with the governor. Please stay in touch with, your, of course, myself as your senator, your legislators, to make sure that we get the right thing done as it relates to the state budget. It's got to be done by June 30th. We need major investments in our communities. We need major investments in our schools. Got to keep the pressure on. It's extremely important. Make sure that you let the folks know in elected office that it is extremely important that they make the appropriate investments in our community. Also, it's never too late to register to vote. VotesPA.com. VotesPA.com is the website where you can register to vote. If you need a registration form, call my office, 215-879-7777, or visit my website, senatorhughes.com, and make sure you put your email address in so you can be part of our email address program where we do regular updates about through our email system. Thanks very much, Hugh.
And again, if you didn't have a chance,
go Cavs.
If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You can leave your question on a voicemail for Senator Hughes, and he'll get back to you. Appreciate the participation in this evening call, and have a nice evening.